You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the first Hypno Fairy Godmother Show of the new year. I am so glad that you found me here today. I am, in fact, Shirley, a clinical hypnotherapist, coach, and advocate here in Southern California, and a glittering rainbow girl going way, way, way back. My specialty is working with the LGBTQIA community, the BDSM, the kink community, anybody that just doesn't really feel like that they have, you know, they don't really fit in that traditional form. And I wouldn't have it any other way. My hope is that we get to have a little fun. You might get a little inspiration, might bring a smile to your face, giggle to your heart, who knows? So before we get to go to the way that I normally start my show, for those of you that were tuning in to hear the fabulous New York Times author Yasmin Gelnorn, we had some difficulties on my part, so she has been temporarily postponed, but she will be here as my guest on the 18th. So I hope you stick around, even though that might have been who you were here to also see. So, you know, give my show a shot. Come on. And I promise that Yasmin will be on my show very, very soon. So we know how we start the show. And if you don't, because you're brand new to my show, all right, let's do this together. All right. You got to be in a safe place. And a safe place to me means you're not driving. No heavy equipment, not juggling kids, and not working on something that needs your undivided attention, because I need you actually in a safe place. So what I need for you to do is we're going to take a nice deep breath. Hold it. And exhale with a smile. Now we're going to start with the second part, and you know the second part is my favorite. So here we go. So let's wiggle your toes. I know. Let's wiggle your toes inside your shoes, outside your shoes. Who cares? It's a little warm today. I'm going outside my shoes. Now I need you to wiggle your buns. Come on, wiggle, wiggle your buns. Squeeze them in, scrunch those buns together. And I have you do that because guess what? You can't do that without smiling. You can't ask somebody to do that without them smiling. So that's why I love to do that. And now we're going to take one last great big deep breath. And as you exhale, I want you to say to yourself, I got this. It's no big deal. It's going to be fine. Just some short little affirmation that will help you get through the day. And if you've got a little extra time, you know, roll your shoulders. I just throw that in afterwards, because you have now, in just this short little bit of time, you have actually just relaxed all those muscles from your toes to your nose and your shoulders and your head. So this is a great place for us to start. Now, if you really like my show, which I'm hoping that you do, then I would love for you to become a Patreon member. And every little bit helps. Cup of coffee. Want to be a regular Patreon member? One of the things that I am adding for my top Patreon members is you get a free session or a free past life regression. So it's worth it because everybody wants to know something. Well, today, my lovelies, is World Hypnosis Day. And so I thought now would be a really good time, beginning of the year. I'm the Hypno Fairy Godmother. So I thought we would go through maybe a little bit of history and of hypnosis and take care of some of those myths that some of you have. Because I know when you hear hypnosis, it can be scary. It can kind of freak you out, or you just go, yeah, whatever. So I thought I might clear a few things up. First of all, let's just start from the beginning. with a couple myths. And the first one is you cannot get stuck in hypnosis. Second thing, which is very important, is that not all hypnotists work on a stage. I actually work in front of the camera. Or I am a clinical hypnotherapist, which means that I work with people one-on-one, or I work with people in groups. Now, since this pandemic has been going on, I actually work with people and groups online. And it is just as effective and will help the one person or the group of people in what you're looking for. So, you know, not all of us, you know, do the glitter and rhinestones, although I do not look bad in glitter and rhinestones, but that's just not my gig. So there are some of us that are considered more of a clinical and some that are more entertainment. And some people kind of do both, which is really fun. I cannot make you, nor can any other hypnotist, can make you do something that you don't want to do. I know we've all seen the creepy, crazy movies, The Manchurian Candidate, Get Out, all those movies where some evil hypnotist has made you, brainwashed you into doing something that you would never do. Well, guess what? We all have free will. And if I ask you to go rob a bank, your free will is going to go, no. I would never do that. So why would, it just doesn't work that way. And I realize that sometimes you see people on stage and they're doing all kinds of fun and crazy things. And you're like, why would somebody actually want to do that? You know, what we're dealing with hypnosis is the difference between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. And the difference is that your conscious mind is you're out there, you're looking, you're seeing everything that's going on in front of you. Your subconscious mind, and I know we've covered this before, but it always helps to keep going over it. Your subconscious mind is that little tiny thing back there. Some people call it your monkey brain or whatever, but it's that little tiny, maybe think of it as a hard drive. I used to say Rolodex, that kind of throws some people off. So it's your hard drive that remembers everything. And it's a little more loose and a little more relaxed because it's remembering everything. And so when you're up on that stage, you're just letting everything go. Your conscious mind is just like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to play. Just let it go, which is great because that's what makes those shows so fun, is that your conscious mind is just kind of off in the nethers and your subconscious mind is just letting you play. And the other thing is that when you're done with either a session or a show, you're going to remember what happened. It's not like I click my fingers and you have forgotten everything that'll happen. How it works is that you're going to remember about the same information that you would have if we had a normal conversation. Because when you have a regular conversation with somebody, you remember the highlights and you kind of forget the small talk and stuff that didn't really mean anything. The yada yada part. So it's nice to know that you're not gonna just forget everything that happened. You'll remember what you need to happen and you just get to go on. But you remember the important parts, and you remember the parts that while you're in a sense of hypnosis, which is actually, it's not sleep. And I know that's the other big thing, is that every movie that you've seen, somebody snaps their fingers and they go sleep. It's not sleep, but it is actually the deep, deep form of relaxation. And that's important, you know, because once your body is calm and your mind is calm, you're able to take in suggestions of things that, you know, maybe you're trying to get rid of a bad habit or you're trying to add a good habit. So when you need those things to pop up, they will, which is great because that's what everybody needs. It's not something you have to worry about. It's not something, you know, nobody sticks in weird, you know, the every time you see the color red, you're going to quack like a duck. I don't do the duck thing. And you're not stuck. You'll never be stuck in hypnosis. There, you know, you will come out. You will be just fine. Everything is cool. So let me talk about the history of hypnosis, actually, because that's also really important, because this did not start in the 20th century. As a matter of fact, hypnosis goes all the way back to prehistory. I mean, we are talking the Egyptians used it. The Greeks used it. Mesopotamia used it. Everybody used it. Even Christians used it. Because they used it as a sense of relaxation and a sense of meditation. And when you're in deep meditation, you're in a form of self-hypnosis. Ooh, God. Wow, had something in my eye. Sorry about that. So people have been using hypnosis as a way of healing and as a way of calming forever and ever and ever. Different countries, different timelines, like I said, all the way back. Because here's a good way to think about it. When you're a little kid, maybe, and you're really stressed out and you're having a bad dream or you can't get to sleep or you don't feel good, and one of your parents sits on your bed and just starts talking to you, and they'll lower their voice and they'll sound really calm and they'll lower everything down. And as they're talking to you, they're actually hypnotizing you to sleep because the rhythm in your voice can do that. The softness, the rhythm, the safe that you feel. Because that's a safe spot and that's your safe zone. So, you know, you want to make sure that all of that, and that's a, kind of an easy way to think about that. Most of us have been hypnotized off and on our entire lives. On that same note, though, you have to be careful when you're an adult because you can actually be hypnotized while you're driving, which is why I always tell you to make sure that you're in a safe spot or a safe place and you're not driving and things like that. Because what will happen sometimes is that you're driving and driving and driving and you're not really paying attention and you've managed to get from your work to your home and you don't remember how you got there. How did that happen? That is your brain going into autopilot. That is your subconscious who has done the same thing continuously over and over. And so it knows how to get there. And it could be scary because what that means is that you weren't paying attention. It happens to long haul truckers and people that drive large distances because you're sitting there and you're driving and, you know, you're hearing the engine go, but you're also hearing and feeling the grooves in the road. And if that road's been used a lot, what happens is you'll start to feel a rhythm and your brain will take over. And so now you're concentrating on the rhythm and you're concentrating on the engine noises and you're not paying attention. And all it takes is one really long blink and we've got some trouble. I actually talked to a police officer once who told me that you can always tell at an accident who was road hypnotized and who wasn't. And that's because if you're road hypnotized, there are no brake, there's no brake marks on the road. You never hit the brakes because you weren't actually there and you weren't actually paying attention. So these are kind of important things too. But we have been hypnotized for as long as we can remember. But one of the things that, as far as the hypnosis that we have in today, actually started pretty much about the 1700s with a guy named Franz Anton Mesmer. So you probably heard of mesmerism, or I'm mesmerized. That all came from him. He liked to think that what he was doing was a form of, you know, animal magnetism, because he thought it was all about the magnetics and his theories and channeling. He thought he was channeling some sort of supernatural, you know, way of doing this. And he would kind of put his clients into this crisis mode and then talk to them. And so people, a lot of people have a problem with Mesmer, but he's the one that started it. And, you know, he moved to France after, you know, because let me think, where was he? I think he was in Austria. But he moved to France, and when he moved to France, there were a lot of psychiatrists and stuff that were like, you can't be saying this. You know, there is, we're not believing the animal magnetism. And so they decided that everything that he did was just about the client believing, and that they just went into their imagination. So other people, still 1700s, started working on that. And they were still convinced, though, that there was some supernatural way of getting your clients or getting your patients to feel this relaxation, but they didn't really know what it was. So they didn't realize that what they were actually doing was they were doing that parental talk. But they still thought that they were using some supernatural stuff out there to help with that. Well, James Braid came along in the late 1700s, so like 1795. And he just didn't like Mesmer at all. He was a complete critic. And he thought it was all pseudoscience and supernatural theory. And so he modified all the techniques. And he's the one that actually coined the term hypnotism or hypnotic therapeutics, which we actually still use those terms today to describe what he did and just kind of describe his approach, which is about focused attention and suggestions rather than saying, you know, the spirit will come in and take you over. So, but there were people that didn't like Braid either. And, you know, it's like that in pretty much every field. And it's the longer any profession has been out there, the more critics there will be. There's always critics. There are people that love to do things one way, but I can find you 10 people that will tell you that that technique is useless and only their technique will work. Well, it's like this with everything. And it's no different with hypnosis. You know, so every time somebody would start to come up with a little bit of a different technique, they would take an ad. It's like, I'm going to take what you did and I'm going to add. And I'm going to add a little more psychology to it. I'm going to add a little more therapy to it. And, you know, we get these different people through the ages. And what they would do is a psychologist would look, or a psychiatrist, actually, would look at this and go, that absolutely will not work. That is just mumbo jumbo, and it will only work my way. And, you know, still today, there are some psychiatrists that don't believe in hypnosis or what it can do or how it can affect things. So, but in the 1800s, we got to Jean-Martin Charrot. Now, he was actually into neurology. And what does neurology have to do with hypnotism? Well, he was focused on the notion that hypnotism was a psychological state rather than a pathological thing. I know, it gets kind of where it's like, okay, great history. Well, things kind of kept going like this. You know, Freud got his in there too. You know, and you know, anytime there is anything to do with the mind, you know that somewhere down on your list, yep, there is going to be, you know, Sigmund Freud down there. So he was all about hysteria, and you know, he thought that, and the funny thing was is that he took what other people did. And when he translated it into German, he made corrections, which is like, really? But he decided that since they couldn't read the other language, that it didn't really matter. And then he just went, you know what, my way is the only way. So that's what I'm going to do. But as it turns out, we got to the 1900s finally, and then we have Milton Erickson, who a majority of current hypnotists and hypnotherapists have studied Milton Erickson. Now, the funniest part about Milton Erickson is he is said to be the most influential hypnotist of the 20th century. He never hypnotized anybody. You gotta love that. He did everything by research. And, you know, he's credited with indirect suggestion and all this other, but yeah, he never actually hypnotized anybody. But a lot of what his techniques are still used today. And there are volumes and volumes on Milton Erickson. There are whole groups. The school that I went to, yes, you actually go to school for hypnotherapy. And it is a process and a program, and it is a trade school like other trade schools. In my case, it took me a little over a year to complete everything. So a true hypnotherapist or hypnotist doesn't just take a week in class and say, look at me. The most you can learn from a week in class is a few bar tricks, which are fun, but not really helpful. So, you know, a lot of what we covered was Erickson's theory. And that's one of the things that you definitely need to know a lot about if you're going to do this. But there have been other psychologists and psychiatrists and every other is that have taken the idea of something that started in Egypt and Mesopotamia and all of this and made it more complicated than it needed to be. To where now, when you hear that phrase, and people go, well, what do you do? And I go, I'm a hypnotherapist. you get the side eye. And that is because every person that has written a lot on this, that has an ist after their name, changes things. And they say, your theory isn't right. This isn't right. This is da da da, da, you know. So it's interesting how and I'm sure you can find this in any field. Like I said, the longer a field goes on or a career goes from wherever it may have started, the older it is, the more people changed it to where now we're almost back to the more natural, the more, you know, that natural way of doing it, which is one of the reasons why I loved getting into hypnotherapy, because I had always been a healer. I had been a healer in many different ways. And when I had to switch careers due to an illness, I found it, or it found me. But it's one of those things where it's a sense of healing. And there's nothing physical, because like I said, I can do this online and you will have the same exact effect and you will feel the same exact way as if we were in a room together, which is one of the wonderful things about hypnotherapy, is that you can do that. And there are different forms of hypnotherapy. A lot of people know about NLP or neuro-linguistic programming. Now, this is an important part of hypnotherapy that you don't have to learn, but man, it really does help. And the fun thing is that anytime, you can try this out this weekend, if you go to a car dealership or something like that, and listen to the way they talk, because what they're going to do is they're going to talk in a rhythm and they're going to go high and low and they're going to leave you and come back. But that rhythm in their voice and the key words that they're going to use is all a part of NLP. Doctors sometimes use it. Most salespeople use it. And they didn't even know in the beginning. I think that the first salesperson sort of figured out the way of doing that with their voice and the rhythms and things like that. And they just taught. They didn't even have a name for it. A lot of this may tweak a couple people, but televangelists are the kings of NLP. And if you're not overly offended by that, you can listen to them one day, just even for a short amount of time. And they are using this way of, you know, the neuralistic programming, and they're doing that same thing with their voice and the way that they're moving. And you'll notice that they move around, and it's almost, if you think of a snake charmer doesn't just sit there with, you know, the flute and does nothing except play. They kind of move, and they move in the rhythm that the snake is moving. So they have continuity. And that's another way of hypnosis. I do not expect, want, or even slightly recommend that you decide to do the snake charming thing, please. That was just an example of something that people use. So when I talk to you about hypnosis and I tell you that I am a hypnotherapist, it's a lot of training. And there are a lot of misconceptions, which is why we've been working on this whole toolbox, because I know that hypnosis, if hypnosis scares you, there are ways to calm, relax you, to ease your mind with our Weeble Kung Fu. You know, every little page is good. So, you know, you have your toolbox and you just go with it. You know, if one thing doesn't work, the next thing does. So that's always important. And that's why I teach you things that you can do on your own so that you don't have to be worried about that. But as far as the history of hypnosis, let's go back to the history just a little bit, because the NLP part, the neuro-linguistic programming part, came in the 1970s and was actually developed by two people named Richard Bandler and John Grindler, who are also very, very important in their association with hypnotherapy. And their theory and practice is modeled by, you know, by everybody. And even Milton Erickson, who I talked about earlier, they may have had their disputes, but they agreed that the techniques worked really well and the system worked. And our system is just there to help. So even back in the Egyptian times, even the stuff that Mesmer was doing, way back in the early 1700s, he was about helping his patient get over whatever it was that they needed to get over. And it was usually anxiety, and it still is anxiety. So, you know, it's important to know with the history that it didn't just pop up in the 1960s or 1970s. And that there is a really long and wonderful history of how this came about, how this whole, hypnotherapy came about. Which is why I wanted to cover a little bit of that, but a lot of the myths, you know, you can't get stuck and that you are in a safe place. Now, here's the thing too, when you're picking out a hypnotherapist, it's important to interview the therapist. Now, you can't do this when you're doing a stage show, obviously, because you're there to have fun. But if you're actually going for any type of therapy, ask about training. You should do this with any doctor, but ask about their training. Ask what their specialty is. I tell you my specialty right up front, right in the beginning. This is what I specialize in, but I have other skills too that I can work on. So a lot of us have a specialty or a niche, but we also have we can work on other things too. And it's important to know about that conscious and subconscious, which is almost more important than anything else. And that is because I worry about people when they're out driving and they, you know, got home and they don't remember anything. But the fun thing about your subconscious is that it's always paying attention. And when your subconscious is always paying attention, it will remember that song that you can hear the tune in your head, but you haven't actually heard that song since you were in like the fifth grade. It will keep rolling until it figures it out. Crazy. And that's usually when you figure it out, when your brain finally, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you pop awake and you go, that's what it is. That's your subconscious that just keeps rolling and rolling until it comes up with the right thing. I know people have a lot of misconceptions about hypnosis. And, you know, there are a lot of questions. I couldn't answer all the questions because I don't actually know what you're thinking. But definitely, if you have any more questions, you know, you can always text me and email me. You know, I'm on everything. I'm on everything from Facebook to, you know, you name it, Instagram, Twitter. I will answer your question because I think it's important that you get great information. And that's why I started working on the toolbox or the Weeble Kung Fu. I kind of stepped over that a little bit, but I want to let you know that that is really important, which is why every show, every time I do this, I load the show. You can always listen to replays on the Facebook page. You can always see them on my YouTube channel, podcast. You can find anywhere. And it's good to kind of keep a little notebook for your, you know, for your little tips and tricks, the ways, the proper ways to breathe, the proper ways to start, or to stop an anxiety attack. Ways to bring yourself out, ways to open yourself up and to nourish. I know you're going to love this. Ways to nourish your soul. You know that that is such an important thing to me. And I hope over the holidays that you got to do some of that. You got to do some of that nourishing of your soul, random acts of kindness. And it all flows together. It may not seem like it flows together, but it does. Because all of these famous hypnotists and hypnotherapists, all they have ever tried to do is make you be the person that you wanted to be. I'm all about helping you become that more authentic person. And I just figured out that this was another way for me to help other people. Now, some people, they nourish their soul by volunteering. And they have probably, depending on where they volunteer, they know the history of whatever country it is or whatever organization it is, you know. Look to the past, you know, to gain your information. Because if you don't know the past, then you don't know how it affects everything now. And all of these famous, you know, they weren't even hypnotists then. But they all had a part, you know, from Mesmer on down. They all had a part in helping us realize that we have it inside of us to help ourselves and to help others. That's, you know, those nourishing your soul things, which how much better does that get? You know, and this was one of the things that I had decided that if you're going to start the brand new year and you're going to start with your resolutions and you're going to start with, I'm going to start a brand new thing. Well, maybe the best brand new thing you could do is find out the history of what you're doing. Some people out there have just amazing careers. Amazing. They get to do really fun stuff, but do they know the history behind it? When it started? Why you do the things that you do? I decided I wanted to learn a little bit more that, you know, what was the history of hypnosis? How does what they did in the past help connect to what I do in the future? How does the techniques that they tried make me a better person? My goal is to be the person I wish I would have had growing up to talk to. That's a great goal. But maybe your goal is to just learn a little bit more about you. That being that person that you wish you would have had. Being that person that you know you can be. And passing that knowledge on. Anything that you can learn from the history of hypnosis to how to rebuild a carburetor. Any of those things, anything that you're learning, you now have the ability to pass that on. And you make little tweaks to it and little additions and subtractions because that's what everybody does. And then you get to teach that to the next people that ask you. So before you start a resolution that doesn't really have a lot of, that you know that you're probably going to quit. And I hate saying that because I know that we all go into the new year with hopes and dreams and aspirations, and sometimes they're slightly unrealistic. But you got to go into it with enthusiasm. You can't go into any of these. If your resolution is to get out and start walking, it doesn't have to be learning the history of your career. It doesn't have to be anything else. But if, let's say that you started off this year and you decided that you wanted to walk. But if you look at that and you say, I have to walk every day. That's not the enthusiasm. You need to be enthusiastic and feel it in you and know that you really want to do that. And then your enthusiasm can help bring along other people. I have an incredible enthusiasm for healing. And whether it's hypnotic healing, whether it's other forms of healing, you know, it's my love and my passion. And when you show your love and your passion for, you know, maybe it's a brand new thing that you're starting, or it's something you've been doing for a long time, the more enthusiasm that you feel, the more enthusiasm other people are going to feel. And when you start to feel yourself starting to slide a little bit, go back and remember how great you felt about starting. And that enthusiasm will pop right back up again. So, you know, now that we are done with 2020, which I don't know too many people that were like, this year was fabulous. This year is not going to be a piece of cake either. But we can start everything with that same joyous enthusiasm that we start every January 1st with. I decided I wanted to learn a little bit more. You can decide that you want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, or a skill that you want to learn. But just do it with all the hope and enthusiasm that you can. The other thing is I want to make sure that everybody knows, like I said, I work with people online and I also work with groups. And I have started doing a Wednesday night group, sort of a guided journey and a meditation group that I do online. You can find all the information on my Facebook page. And I do that because we need connection and we all need to relax and we all need to unwind. And this is an hour for you. And I always tell you that you are the most important person out there because you can't help somebody else if you can't help yourself. So, you know, we all deserve a little us time or me time. So I am doing those sessions. If you're worried about confidentiality, nobody's video is on except for mine. So you don't have to put a name down in the bottom. You can add a fake name. This is just about you. This is not about anybody seeing you or how you're reacting. This is just about you getting to relax and do that. Because I will continue to keep encouraging you to take breaks. Some of us are working from home and you have kids that you're helping deal with. And you have so many things going on that you tend to not take that you time and take those breaks. So take that, you know, set your alarm. Take the 10-15 minute walk around the block. Last week, I talked about the 3 o'clock crazy time. 3 o'clock reset. 3 o'clock, everybody that's in your house, have them stop what they're doing. You, kids, family, dog, doesn't matter. And dance around. You know, I've seen these gigantic puffballs and, you know, get white ones and have an indoor snowball fight. Just something that's fun to kind of reset everybody. And then you can go back to what you were doing because you need to have that reset. And I will never stop encouraging you to have fun. We're stressed out. You could still have fun. I know you can. It's just the way it happens. You have it in you. You just have to give yourself permission. Yes, give yourself permission to do what you need to do. You know, give yourself permission to have fun. Plant a garden. Learn a new hobby. Have an indoor snowball fight. Do those things. Because those are really super important. You know, if you've got time, re-listen to a show, re-listen to a different podcast. There's a lot of great podcasts out there. Watch funny videos. I love my funny videos. You know, if you can, leave your house. But always be careful and be cautious. We don't need to spread anything. But you can still leave your house to go walk around, smell the flowers, take your dog for a walk. You know, and while you're doing that, you know, check your mental state. Do a body walkthrough. I do this thing called a walkthrough me, where I start at my head and I continuously walk all the way down my body mentally. And I see what I need to work on and where I'm okay. Do those. That's so important to make sure that you do that. To take care of you. And then ask family members. And if they say, I'm fine. And if they say it like that, then you know they're not. And just ask, would you like somebody to listen? Not somebody to talk. Do you want somebody to listen? Because sometimes people just need to be heard. Which we also discussed last week. So, you know, today was my first show of the year. They'll get better. I have some great guests coming up. You're going to love these people because I want to show you how other people have used different ways of healing and different ways of, you know, using the gifts that they have to help other people. And maybe you'll get some inspiration from them. I'll give you as many people for inspiration as you can get. And it's great when I get to do that and I get to bring them to you. So with any questions, comments, anything like that, hypnofairygodmother@yahoo.com. Tell your friends about the show. We need to keep this show going because we need to have fun with this and you need to get to laugh every once in a while. So this last time, make sure that you are still in that safe place. I think you're in that safe place. Good. And we're going to take this one last really big from down here in your core breath. Release it with a smile. And I want you to have an incredible rest of your day, a more than incredible rest of your week. And I will see you next week with a great guest. So watch out for those emails and messages so you can find out who I got going. So I will see you next week and much love.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.